to do is telling us straight out what we have to do. When it said young man, I believe it's talking not just to the young people, but talking about a person's character. You know, you could be young at heart. It could be any, it's for all of us. And we're supposed to take heed of the word. So you were, I mean, straight up, Alex, what else can we say? He's telling us straight
Thank
out. Can't be more
you.
than telling us how to live according to your word, telling us to seek him wholeheartedly, to do not stray from him. We gotta hide this word in our heart that we may not sin against him. We gotta praise him, but that's going to the 12th verse, but basically he's just telling us straight out. There's no other way to live but to live for him and to live and live according to the word, which is the Lord.
Did you want to add anything to that, Dean Cotton, or just
No, they both hit it on the top of the head, and again, all you can do is say reword what they both saying, and the same it's gonna come out the same thing. And no, I'm glad they both came out with that. I don't need to say anything. I can say this, it correlates with this. To today, well, over the past few days, I've been talking to a gentleman at the Y, and he had just gotten out of prison a little while ago. He'd been 3 years in the prison, and he's a big fella, a Caucasian guy, and he brings his friend there. And I asked him something, don't you know about one of his tattoos? He said, oh, that's the Lord. That's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I said, oh, you know something about that? Well, that was a couple of weeks ago. We've been talking about the Lord every time he come in. And to a point where even today he talk
Well,
next week he's starting training because he want to try to pray. He's going to CDL and gonna be on the road. And I bought him a Bible, him and his friend that come, another young guy, and they both received. Not only did they receive it, when I was down in the locker room and saw him before he went upstairs, I said, I got one of these Bibles just for you upstairs. He said, oh man, thank you, man. You're a good guy. I said, no, we together. You're fighting a good cause. Stay with the Lord. He said, okay. And this right here is on point with this because to say I've hidden the Lord in my heart. When we take that word of God and keep it in our heart, that word of God preserves us from a multitude of things that could come our way. That's why the old saints say, from dangers seen and unseen. And I agree with that 100%. Because we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's at the next blink of an eye. We don't know what's at the next heartbeat. We don't know. If it wasn't for God keeping us, preserving us, and sustaining us, we'd be lost, gone, destitute, whatever.
amen, amen.
okay. And right along with this, Alex and as you've all happily stated, yes, he's right to the point. But when we look at this, we look at what the psalmist wrote, and we can ask, we can ask ourselves a couple of things, or state a couple of things with that as well. And I just want to put this out there. Even though it is addressed, the question is addressed to somebody young, as Karen stated, it could be she said that youngness could be basically a state of mind. But then the way I have it worded, I wanted to put one, it's probably speaking to young people in general, because then I believe in the King James. How can he says, how can a young man? I think in the King James, that's what he says, a young man. But that's why I like the NIV. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And then you go, also, I want to make this, I want to say, and I'm going to raise this question, can a person, could he be talked to a young person who is also young in their Christian walk, or does it simply have to be applied to
Yes,
age?
yes, yes,
Yeah, I
yeah.
think
I was going to mention it. What do you think?
it's also appropriate for somebody who's young, a young Christian. Yeah, I think this is also appropriate for them.
Yes.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, because look what he said. Now, what I love about this, as you get even more and more into the spirit of this passage, he's asking the question, how can a young person stay? Now, notice what he said. Listen very closely what he said. Stay on the path of purity. Now, you become saved. So we talk about somebody who's a believer, a follower of God. You've chosen this path, and you've done well. I mean, you've done well. But how do you stay on it? How do you stay on it? This strikes me as somebody who realizes that there's a whole lot of adversarial things that comes across young people that I think a lot of us who consider ourselves mature Christians or we have been walking this Christian walk for a while, and also a lot of us who, for some reason, we seem to have forgotten. If you wouldn't been saved as a young person, even if you weren't saved as a young person, you've forgotten what it was like as a young person in a household. Can you imagine right now a person who's a follower of the Lord in a household where your siblings, even your parents, are not following the Lord? You seem to be the only one in there who's following the Lord. Have you thought about that? Maybe you see that from time to time, even now. Or maybe experiencing that. But can you imagine what it's like being teased by, oh, do you always beat this father? Always talking about this. And if you were younger, can you imagine your folks taking you over a friend of the family's house and they all, go in there and maybe there's a lot of drinking and you're hearing some, even not a whole lot, but maybe you are, profanity going on in there. You don't like that atmosphere, but you have no choice. Because you have to go with your parents. Can you imagine being confronted with this all the time? You're getting bombarded with this, maybe even when you go to school or in your job, and then turn around and have to go through all of this at home. So, yes, how can a young person, because there are challenges for young people, and some of us who are a little bit older, we don't have those same challenges. But these young people are going through a whole lot. Trying to stay in the path of purity. And that's why he said, so I love when the psalmist says, how can a young person stay on this path? It's one thing to say, right off and say with power that we believe in conviction, follow the word of God, stay in the word of God. That sounds so good. It is the right thing to say. Then when they turn and ask you, but how can I do this? When every in my home, nobody else is doing it. School, I'm surrounded by everybody that wants to do this, that, and the other. On my job, I'm bombarded with this. On my way to work, on my way home, on my way to school, on my way, I'm surrounded. And yes, I can't always whip out the Bible, or I mean, what do I do? So ask yourself a question. When you tell this to a person, live according to the word of God. And they ask you, well, how does the word of God tell me to deal with my situation? What are you prepared to tell them now? It was easy to tell them live by the word, but when they tell you how their life really is, how they're surrounded, down in, maybe, like I said, in their neighborhood, in their house, in their job, what they're surrounded with, what do you tell them next? Look at the text and look at what he says. Okay, he says, I seek you with all my heart. Don't that sound familiar? Isn't that almost what Philip told the eunuch? When he asked him, how can what keeps me from getting baptized? He said, if you believe with what? All your heart, your very being. So he said, now this is what the psalmist is saying. I seek you with all my heart. That means what? I'm sincere. I want to be with you. I really, really want to walk with you. I want you to walk with me. I'm seeking you because the way that my life is, what I'm surrounded with, sometimes it makes it so hard to see you, to follow you, Lord. And then he says, what else with that? Do not let me stray from your command. Lord, it's hard. I don't want to stray from what you're telling me to do. Don't let me. He's pleading to the Lord. And then he turns right around and speaking, even as Karen has said to her, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does that mean? Somebody make that. I'm a little confused. What does that mean? I've hidden your word in my heart. What does that mean? Can anybody explain that? Make sense of that to me? If I was to tell some young person that, they said, what does that mean? How do I do that? What do you got for me?
Depends on how young we're talking about, but if you know it, you have that because all right to hide in your heart, you have to have learned some scripture, you have to have really maybe been in church for some time or at Bible study for some time, but which whatever it is that you do know that you can always go to it. At any time, and be prepared to utilize it, even if it's just the Lord's Prayer. Have that available. Know that you have that available because it is God's word, and is there to help you. So I would say, whatever you do, know and continue to add to your knowledge by continuing to learn. But whatever you do know, use it when you need. Be ready to use it because the world is going to be coming after you at times.
Very good. Anybody else?
I agree with our brother Al because I remember a situation that I was in, and I questioned God. I said, God, you got me in this situation. I didn't do it. Now, if I did something and I'm in a situation, I understand I got to take the penalty. But if I didn't do it, I'm dependent on you to rectify it. And so many words, and I talked to him, and he answered me. Within, I guess you say, a half hour, hour, whatever it was. And the answer was a resolution. It wasn't just no answer. And it resolved me from being in that situation. So I can only say thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer, but also thank you for a resolution to something I had no control over. And since I believed it and it was reflected in my memory, in my teachings, even in my living, as far as trying to live a life of integrity, a life of honesty, a life of honor, I reflect on that. And since I reflect on that, I had no regrets. I said, I ain't did nothing treacherous to nobody. I'm in this situation. Lord, deliver me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen.
You know, Alex, I like the way you put it. When you first started out, you stated, at first you made a statement, it depends on how old that person, that young person is. But then what you also said that made it well about them know that, to know some scripture. And then you said what made it good for me, whatever scripture you know, that's important, you know. I think that sometimes some people can get a little discouraged when you hear a lot of people emphasizing the importance of memorizing scripture. That is a good thing, don't get me wrong. But do you realize, I remember feeling that, hey, I gotta know a whole bunch of scripture. It's not what you know, it's the quality of what you know. You said it's even if all you knew the Lord's Prayer. It's something in that Lord's Prayer that could use to do what? To help keep you on the path, to help you live according not just to the word arbitrarily. Look at what he said. Do not let me stray away from your command. Amen. What it is you had told us to do. That is what's important. And this is what, and this will go right along with what we're reading here. You know, and what is the purpose of this? I've hidden your word in my heart. It's deep in there. What I know, what I've learned, to do what? So that I might not sin against you. Now look at this, what we see in this young person. You know, a young person who really has a heart for God. I don't want to sin against you. I'm being bombarded with sin. I got sin all around me. I'm being tempted by it. It's enticing me. I don't want to do this. So, Lord, I'm seeking you with all my heart. Don't let me stray. It doesn't get any more sincere than that, does it? Don't let me stray. Don't let me. It's not easy. It's not easy when little Susie. I'm having a party. You know, we going, yeah, you know what young people are gonna be doing at this party, maybe. You know, little Johnny is saying to her, oh, come on, baby, we're gonna have a good time. Lord, don't let me stray. I'm tempted to go. I wanna go. And it's not, you know, and as y'all stated, this may not be to some young teenager. This may be somebody that could even possibly be our age. You know, I mean, how many of you remember or recognize that you too can fall prey to peer pressure at your age, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even old? You too can feel the, you know, pressure from your peer that, hey, let's do this here. Hey, we going to Spain. We going on this trip. We going to India. We going there. He said, hey, no, there's nothing wrong with traveling. But look who you talk about, you traveling with. Okay. Right. You know, we all going to wherever. There's a place that I really want to go. And it may not be said, but if you're already fighting with gambling and with money and stuff, do you really want to go with the group Atlantic City?
No.
You really want to go with them? You love the people. You like these people. But you're fighting already. You may not even feel it, but you're strong enough to overcome that. For you, it may not be good for you to go. You know, it's a nice trip, you know, and everything, but it may not be good for you. This person is so sincere in their walk. God, don't let me stray from what you've told me to do. Your command. He said, I have hidden your word in my heart, not on my mind, not on my brain, in my heart, so I might not sin against you. I keep it there. And then after this, he's praising the God. He's praising the Lord. Teach me your decree.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decree. Can anybody elaborate? There's something in there. I believe there's something. You like to go deep in it. But what does that say to you? Teach me your decree. Well, let me ask you another question. How in the world does that happen? He said, Lord, teach me your decree. Make that real. Make that real. Remember, you got a young person ask you, how can the Lord teach me his decree? That's what the psalmist is written. It's written right there.
He can send someone to help you.
He can send someone to help you. Anybody else? Oh, you want to go further, listen?
I'm not sure, but you know, like people ask you questions, you don't always have the answer, and so sometimes you have to go into your secret corner or your closet and pray and ask God to help you to know what to say, so that when they come to you, you're not going to just sit there and go, well, if I was you, why don't you ask your father? I'm going to have to try to see what the Lord has put in my mind or in my heart to tell you that I think is the right thing, but I'm not going to try to just say, do this or do that. I have to pray myself and find out what to say to you.
Yeah. Now, there are a number of, and what you're saying is good. Can somebody turn to John 14:26 for me? And when you get there, just start reading. Just start reading loud. John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
My. And in the NIV, it reads like this. Unless somebody else has it, you can read it.
No.
It says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Wow. So when he says, praise be to you, Lord, teach me your decrees, was he right there in on point or what? Asking the Lord to teach you. I'm not saying that, no, I don't know how the Lord's going to do that. As Alicia told us, he may send somebody who may come and expound the word to you, okay, or something like that. Or you may hear it through some the pastor on Bible studies or Sunday mornings or wherever. But we also understand that the Holy Spirit teaches us also. We know that, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We talk about somebody who's pleading to the Lord. The Lord will teach you. He says here, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you. That means something that you already got, something that you've already been taught, something that you already know. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that like we've talked about in the past? You have your cell phone, your computer, your tablet. That's full of information. But all that information is not right in front of you all at once. It couldn't fit. It all was not there. But when you need it, you can bring it up. You can bring it up and bring it to the screen. And he's saying right here, listen, it's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you. Think about that, y'all. How many times have you been in a conversation with something and it seems like the Lord is just giving you everything to say? The right words just come out. The verses come out. The books, the chat, they just come out because they're in there. And why? How did they get in there? Because you have hid that word in your heart. It's in there. It's in there. You didn't commit it just to brain memory. It's in your heart. It's become a part of you. And when you need it, the Holy Spirit can remind you. But even if it wasn't in there, he said also, he said from the beginning, okay, he would teach me his decree, but he will also remind me of that which he's already taught. Wow. Wow, y'all think about this, okay? Now, this is from a person, a young person. We don't know how, whether they're young in age, how young they are, or what have you. He says, okay, this is what's happening. And then he said, what? Watch this. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. There's something right there. Did anybody catch this? All the laws that come from your mouth, what come to you? What verse comes to your mind right away? Somebody got something. It came to them right away.
Lord's Prayer.
That came to you. What else? Anybody, anything else?
Psalms 23.
Okay, I can see that. Anything else? I'll give one thing that came to me right away when I... you know, New Testament. All scripture is what?
Given for reproof, correction, so that the man of God can be fully equipped.
And is God what? Is God what? God breathed from the breath of God. Right?
Yes.
Well, look what he says here. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. God breathed. Came from God Himself. All I recount all the law, all that he's talking about, all the commandments. And of course, back then he's referring to the Old Testament, what we call the Old, Testament now. That's because that's what they had. That's what they had. But came from, he's confirming it right here that it came from God. He didn't say, I'm recounting all the laws that came from the laws of Moses. They came from the, no. It came from your mouth. That's what he said. And I rejoice in following your statute as one rejoices in great riches. Oh, this is a young person. Young, this is a, if I was preaching this somewhere to young, I could use this for young people. This is a young person saying this. That ain't somebody who done lived 50, 60, 70. This is an old person. Or, as we said, it could be somebody that's new in the faith. They may be old in years, but new in the faith. And they at this point in their life, they rejoice in just following God's laws, his decrees, his statutes. Just like a person will rejoice in the great riches that they have, I rejoice. I find riches in the word of God. Man, this is some good stuff. You okay? And then he goes on to say, I meditate on your precepts that I consider your ways. What he's saying right here is I dwell on this. Okay, I constantly chew this up. Okay, and I'm, as I think about, as I pray about, as I'm thinking about how I should go about everything you tell me to do. And then he goes on and says, I delight in them. When I look at all your decrees, everything you have, your statutes, your laws, your commandments, okay, I delight in it. And what does he finally say here? I will not neglect your word. I will stay in your word. I have to. I'm not going to neglect it. So when we look at this, we can't help but look at a young person in spite of everything they're living through, in spite of their circumstances, in spite of whatever it is, the situation they find themselves in, I will not neglect your word. I need your word to help me what? Stay on the path of purity. What do you think about this passage, this psalm? Have we taken time before and really looked into this psalm? I know none of us made that comment. I'm going to call it an error. You just look at that 9th and 10th verse, which is strong in and of itself. That in and of itself is strong. Okay? I want to stay. I want to stay with the Lord. I want to stay doing what he tells me to do. Stay in the way that he pleased. Stay on the steps that he put me in. Live according to his word. The just shall live by faith. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay on the word. Stay in the word. Is there any such thing as a believer who does not follow the word of God? What are you living by? Think about it. How can you live? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I don't know if we really get the gist of what he says. What he says is impossible to please him. It's not like he's pleased with the things we're doing like that, the physical. What he's saying is, without believing in him, without believing he'll do what he says, without believing he is who he says he is, you can't make him happy. You can't make him happy. But when he looks to see that, yes, you're putting your faith in him. You're putting your trust in him. You're doing like this young man. You're pleading with him to keep you so that you can keep his word. This is make God happy. That you got that much faith that the Lord can, that he can and will keep you. That makes him happy. That pleases him. That means you're showing great faith, great use of the faith that he instilled in you. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. Okay? And this young person says, I delight in your word. I delight in what you say. And I will not neglect your word. I'm not going to neglect reading it. I'm not going to neglect studying it. I'm not going to neglect following it. Because I want to stay on the path of purity. The path of righteousness, as we talk about. The path of good. I want to stay here. And I want to live according to your word. That's the only way I can stay on it. By living according to your word. Not according to what's popular. God forbid, if we go with what's popular, look what's popular out here among us right now. Look at what's popular. No, not with what's popular. Not even what the law of the land said. Live according to your word. According to your word. And in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of what the world is popularizing, publicizing, I'm going to seek you. Yes, I see a hand or?
No.
No, he said, I'm going to seek you with all my being. I'm going to seek you. I'm hearing a whole lot of things by a whole lot of people, and some of them are testifying that they're your servant, but I'm going to seek your word. Don't let me stray from your command. I know what everybody else is saying. I know what the world says, that how Christians are to conduct themselves. And don't y'all find that strange and funny that you may have found yourself, or you see so many people conducting themselves on what the world says we should be doing. The world says, yeah, what we should be doing in our community, what we should be doing around. Where is it? But where is it found in the Bible? That this is what we should do. I see what the Lord has told us, be careful. Because so many of you have what? You've lost or gotten away from your first love. God told you from the gate, I'm a jealous God. Don't put anything, anyone before me. You putting all your energy in all these different things. You've been so busy doing work in the church that you're forgetting to do the work of the church.
Mercy.
That's your first love. That's your first love. And he said, don't neglect that. Don't neglect what I told you to do. I'm not saying you can't do some of these other things. You can't have the daycares. You can't have these other different ministries that we call on. But are you doing what I told you to do? Are you still out there teaching all like I told you to do? Have you put that on the back burner while you make way for something else? Don't do that, he said. Don't do that. Do make sure you're doing what I told you to do. That's what he's doing. There's a whole lot in this passage, beloved. And I'm hoping that we just touched on a lot of it. I'm sure some of it we could spend a lot more time, get a lot more deeper into it. But there's a whole lot in this passage. And I hope and pray that some of the things that we might not, that you might not have given deep thought to, maybe, you know, it'll cause you to go a little bit deeper with it now. You know. I'm going to share this one other passage with you. And if you want to say some more with it, I'll go over there. Romans 14, 13. Anybody want to read that? If you find that, read that for us, please.
Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Right. Now we're talking, he's talking to believers right here. And in the, again, in the NIV, it reads like this. Therefore, let us stop. Well, somebody, did I hear something?
No, I was getting ready to read it, but go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister.
Wow. You read? No, that's far enough. No, mm-hmm. This is important. You know, let's stop passing judgment on one another. We've spoken about this in the past. You're doing all you know to do to live circumspectly for God. You're doing, even like the psalmist wrote in the psalm, you're doing what you know to do. How many times have you been getting beat down and criticized and feeling bad from what's supposed to be another brother? He says, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, let's continue to build one another up. You're doing all you know to do, the best way that you know how to do it. I tell anybody, and y'all heard me say it many times, I welcome constructive criticism. But I don't have time for a bunch of criticism in and of itself. I'll be honest with you. Because anybody can criticize. Anybody can say, oh, I don't like you doing that. I don't like you saying this. I don't like you going that way. Well, where do you think I should be going? What do you think I should be saying? Follow what I'm saying? Now you're being constructive. No, I don't think you should go in Delilah's house to try to minister. Okay? If you think that people that go in there shouldn't go in there, how about you standing on the pavement? How about you standing near the doorway? And saying this to all those who are getting ready to enter. maybe you can keep them from going in there. Now that's a, and see, I'm not just criticizing, but now I'm giving you another option. That's constructive. I'm not saying that is the way or thing to do, but at least I'm giving you another alternative. I'm being constructive in my criticism. You follow what I'm saying? He said, let us not, no, stop passing judgment on another, on one another. Okay, and then he says, but make of your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Now we know that in this passage, they were referring to a person's eating and all. That's what they were referring to in this passage. But the key thing is we need to remind ourselves and remember that there is something that we may do that's causing a problem for our brother or sister. If we know that it's causing a problem for them, maybe they've expressed that. What you're doing may not be wrong in and of itself, but since it's speaking, it's causing a problem for you, I won't do it. I won't do it. Okay? No, I don't have a problem smoking cigarette. Now, somebody can argue the point a whole lot of quick, but the bottom line, if it's causing a problem for you, because you may come over and told me, like, you know, I'm fighting. That's one thing that I'm fighting against, smoke now, and you're doing this in this place. And yada, yada. Listen, brother, I hear you. But right now, I'll put mine away if it's causing you that problem. Because you may have a legitimate reason. Maybe you're fighting a cancer. Maybe you're in remission because you was, or whatever it might be. And I did what I should do by expressing that to you. I won't do it then. I won't do that. Okay. Or maybe I have to go somewhere else. I really have to feel like I gotta go. I gotta smoke this. I'll go out and come back because it's causing a problem for you. That's what we do for our brother. You know, all of this is good. It goes along. You know, what do you say? A portion in this word. We live by the word of God. That's what we live by. Any questions, comments? I hope and pray that this passage is giving us a little bit more illumination in some areas in there. I'm hoping that there's one, you know, at least one thing that you got out of this that you didn't have when you first came, when we first started talking about it. If we've done that, then praise God, we've done what we were instructed to do.
Amen.
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 Okay, having said that, if there's no more comments or questions at all, somebody want to close us out in prayer? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will. No one else will. As Christians, we should be able to pray when someone asks us to pray, because you never know when someone else may need to hear that prayer from you. But
amen.
I thank God for prayer, because prayer is what's keeping us and sustaining us. We need to keep our family in prayer. Our Cotton family, the Smith, all the Middletons, the my niece, Anita needs prayer because she's going through the leukemia.
Amen. And
other issues. So we just need to keep each other in prayer. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our lesson on this evening. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy, your everlasting love. Forgive us of all of our sins that we've committed thus far in thought, word, and deed. Lord God, we thank you for our teacher, Pastor Cotton. We thank you for the word that you gave him to give to us. And we thank you.
Thank you
for each and everyone on the Bible study, each and every household that's represented. God, we want to remember them in prayer. We want to remember our family that's just going through grief and bereavement, the family that's just going through family issues, the ones that are just need a word from you, oh God. And we just ask you to touch right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we say amen.
Amen. Amen.